2,602 words, all inspired by God and preserved from that generation forever, as every word preserved in your King James Bible. Anybody that says your King James Bible is not inspired is one of two things. Either they've never been taught right, or they're a stinking hypocrite, one or the other. And I say that in charity. I mean, I used to be on the other side of the team of that thing when I first got saved, and I found out something. God has a book. God has a book. And listen, God wrote one book, and he gave it to us right here. Here it is. And when some jerk comes along and says, well, where was it for 1611? How many people did you know live for then? Oh, well, I don't know of any. Then why are you worried about it? I mean, they always worry about it. Why are you worried about that stuff? And just for that crowd, I've got something for you tonight. It's very true and factual. You know what Daniel's name means? It means God is my judge, so don't you judge me.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. That's right. The theme of Daniel will deal with the rise and fall of kingdoms. The key verse is chapter 2, verse 22, which we'll get to in a moment. The author of this book, no doubt about it, is the Holy Spirit of God by inspiration through Daniel. And it was written somewhere around the 6th century B.C., and as we get to this book, it's to proclaim God's sovereign control over human affairs. God in control of human affairs. You say, times are hard. Listen, don't matter. God's in control. I'm glad to announce to you tonight, no matter how bad the storm is, God's still walking with you in the storm. As we look through Daniel tonight, a couple of quick things. The book's divided literally into two parts. The first is Daniel and his personal friends in chapters 1 through 6. And then the second part of the book, chapter 7 through 12, will deal with Daniel and his people's future. And this book, of course, is the key chapter, and it would be chapter 9. But we're going to start at chapter 1, verse 8. This is how you get something done for the Lord. Okay? Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. What'd he do? He said, I'm no liquor person. I'm not going to drink liquor, whether all of you do or not. And when you purpose in your heart to do right, do right. Hey, the day you got saved, listen, do right. The day that God called you to preach, preach, do right. Hey, when God gave you that job, work that job like you're working to him, do right. And that's how Daniel made the purpose in his heart. He wouldn't defile himself. Watch this. With just a portion of the king's meat and with his wine. So everybody was doing it. Daniel didn't do it. He said, well, everybody does it. Daniel got a whole book with his name on it. They didn't. That's the difference. See, they are rewards for following God after you're dead. We're talking about Daniel tonight. We ain't talking about that crowd. We don't know their names. We're giving the name of a couple of them kings. That's it. If you look over in chapter 2, look at verse 19. It's what God gives his people. Now, he'll give you something precious here. He gave this to Daniel. It says, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. And here's the key verse. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the lightness dwelleth with him. Now, if you notice back in verse 21, you find out how spring, fall, and summer gets here. God does it. For you scientific types, listen up. This planet rotates around, and it does this way one time, and this way, and when it goes around the other way, it's tilted like that. That makes the seasons change and all that, right? You say, that's the planet doing that, not God. God just set it in motion. Can you tell me who's holding this planet up?
Amen.
You say, that's the gravity from the sun. Who's holding it up?
Yep.
What makes that thing shine? Well, scientists have said, no. What makes it shine? What makes it put out 7 perfect rays and hit this planet all at the right distance, no matter where we're at? It's got 3 types of rays coming at it. All that's perfect. Who was it did that again? God did. He flipped the switch one day. He said, let there be light. And God said, let the light be. And I've heard tales of the sun's getting bigger and it's getting smaller and it's just going to burn out. Let me give you a clue. That thing ain't going to quit till God says, like that at it. It's going to keep on going till that time. When the Bible says there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, it don't say the sun explodes. I-J-S. Right? But I see that God, Daniel says there, he changed the season, he removed the kings, seven foot kings, he puts Barack Obama in office because we're such a reprobate nation, turned our back against God. We got a bunch of Bible cricketers in the pulpit. In 2006, the president, the man running for office, Barack Obama, a senator's never been over nothing in his life, gets up and says,
well, God said stone everybody for doing this and other. You do read your Bible, don't you, and made light of this book.
There's another guy that does that. And God messes up his mind in here. Look down at chapter 3. I'm going to show you the biggest problem liberals have with the Bible. Daniel chapter 3. I'm going to deal with you on a scholarly level for just a few moments. We're going to look right into the heart of the problem with these people. Daniel chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold. He's a type of the Antichrist. And he's going to make an image like himself, just like the beast does. The beast and Antichrist over in the book of Revelation over there during the time of tribulation. And he's going to want people to bow to that image. And the way he does that, if you look down through here, he tells them, he said in verse 4, then the herald cried aloud to you and his command, O people, nations, and language, that at what time you hear the sound of the contemporary Christian music, and whoso faileth not to worship, but falleth down in verse 6, the same hour shall be cast down in the midst of a fiery furnace. Ain't that something? Again, let's go over Christian music. This crowd over here that corrects and denies the Bible, they say it don't matter what it says, what the music is, it can be any type of music, that's just a matter of preference. It's the lyrics that count, and they got to be about the Lord, right? This crowd over here, the Bible-believing crowd, says yes. It does matter because the music and the words must glorify God. Here's the example I gave you last week. We'll make sure everybody gets this. Over here, we've got a vodka bottle, and we pour water in it. And all you would say, he's went back to drinking. I said, no, it don't matter. It's just what's inside that counts. But over here, we'd say, no, we don't do vodka bottles even with water in them. It doesn't matter what you carry it in. Okay? Now, we get over here, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they get over here, and they don't bow down. Everybody else is doing it. Everybody else was doing it. I don't know where Daniel was during this time, but I know this, them three guys didn't, and they go into a furnace, they're cast in there. And the Bible said he even consumed the guys that took him in there. And the guy felt so bad on Nebuchadnezzar, he said, listen, he said in verse 24, said, then Nebuchadnezzar king was astonished, rose up in his haste, and spake and said to his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. Verse 25 is where they all get shipwrecked in their faith. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Now, all the modern Bibles take out the Son of God and say a son of the gods, a little g. And they do that in the Spanish Bibles, and they do that in all these other false translations that go against the Word of God. Now, let me point something out to you. The scholarly crowds, I'm going to do you the scholarly level, say this. They'll say there's no way a king in the Old Testament would have known who the Son of God was. That's what they say. But yet Solomon, when he wrote Proverbs, knew exactly who he was and that there was a Son of God, the Son of God. He is 300 years before this guy. I believe that when he looked in there, he saw Jesus Christ walking around in there. He said Jesus wasn't born yet. He was God. He wasn't born at all. He got born on this planet to become the Savior for us. But he was in eternity past, according to John chapter 1, with God. Psalm 33:6 and John 1:1, he was creating this business that we live on called Earth. He's got the whole world in his hands. He still got it. Hey, listen to this. And he was there doing that. And like he said to Job, he says to the scholars, where were you when I done all that? Where were you when all my angels were singing praise to me while I made all this? Where were you at, Job? Where were you at, Bible scholar? Where were you at, Bible corrector? See, you got a problem with the Son of God right there. You know why? You don't know Him. You don't know Him. I've heard of men getting this preached to and getting saved and things like that. But I tell you what I can't find. I can't find that Bible cracking crowd preaching nothing that anybody can get saved from. That's all your scholarly level tonight. We're going back down to bottom shelf. Amen. Chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 17. Say, what are you doing with them? I'm telling on them. Say, who are they? The list is way too long, but if you know the scriptures, you'll spot them. As soon as you spot them, you'll see them, you'll know. There's a hand shows up. They all drinking with the stuff of, with God's things out there. The vessels that were taken out of the house of God. And verse 16, a hand shows up writing on the wall. That's where we get the term, the handwriting's on the wall, right here in this chapter. And it says, and the king says here, and I have heard of thee that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom. We're going to make you a pope, Daniel, if you can tell us what this is. What colors he wear again? Verse 17, then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself and thy rewards to another. You can write this out in the margin of your Bible, not for sale. Boy, I like a preacher like that. The deacons come up to him and say, preacher, if you preach on that again, the women in church are going to get mad and do something, so they're going to have to get mad. Well, preacher, we wanted to tell you today that two of our biggest giving families, they're mad at you and they're going to leave because they don't like the way you preach. And he's going to look at them with his red cowboy boots and say, it ain't how I preach they don't like, it's what I preach. Amen. That's what he's going to say to them. Amen. I like this. He's not for sale. I wish every preacher was like Daniel. Let thy gifts be to thyself. There's been three preachers in my lifetime I've preached for come up to me and want my Social Security number. Because their church was caught up in all this confusion that the federal government's saying, well, we got to take your Social Security number right down and put and send us in the government. No, you don't. Lest thou don't know, I am self-employed. You can't fire me. Somebody said they fired their preacher. No, you didn't. He's self-employed. How do you fire somebody self-employed? Only person who can fire me is me. I ain't getting fired no time soon. All right. I've had three different preachers do this. Come and say, we need to sign this thing, fill out this. And I told them, just keep your check. I don't do this for money. And I ain't getting tied up with that crowd either. Sorry. 15 years later, I called the first one back after that IRS scandal. I said, ain't you glad I didn't do that? Oh, that's right. They did that to you, didn't they? Sorry. Why is that? Because somebody's behind all that. It's been working back over here somewhere too, ain't he? And Daniel, being the man of God he is, said, I tell you what that thing says, and here's the writing right here that's written upon. Mene, mene, tickle, a person. He says, is that how you say that properly in the Hebrew? Well, see, it's Aramaic. Let me explain something to you. Hebrew and Greek are all we hear about. You go to college, they don't want to talk about Hebrew, they want you to take Greek. And they want you to get you a Greek Septuagint. What they don't tell you about that Greek Septuagint, several of the books of the Bible are out of order. There's things added to Daniel, Esther, and things like that. And the Apocrypha is scattered throughout that Greek Septuagint that didn't even come about to 200 years after Jesus died. Not one of the Apocryphal books was ever quoted by Christ or the apostles. And Apocrypha means questionable. That's what that word means. Why did King James Bible have it 1611? They stuck it between the testaments to answer a plowboy's prayer. God, let the English-speaking people, let the king get a hold of this and get it in a common man's language. And they put the whole thing out there. Next edition, 1612, they took the Apocrypha out, corrected from Gothic to the Roman type print. And two other times, 1638, 1762, and 1769, taking out things like ankle was spelled with a C to ankle spelled with a K. Wow. What's all that got to do with Daniel? That hand wrote in a different language than Hebrew. Because from Daniel chapter 3, I think it's towards chapter 9 or chapter 10, that part of that book's in Aramaic. Aramaic is a language that contains Hebrew letters, but you put them all in a different place. Just like if you were to read Spanish tonight, you would see that there'd be a four-letter word you could find. Capital D, little I, little O, little S. That's the word Dios, I think is how you say that. Right? All you Mexicans out there, is that right? See, see? Though you have to agree with me, what'd you say?
Dios.
You'd have to agree with me tonight, whether I know how to pronounce it or not. And seeing how I'm from America, I probably don't. But you'd have to agree with me tonight, those are English letters that make up words in another language, right? Aramaic and Hebrew is like that. It contains Aramaic, Hebrew letters, but they spell them different, right? This word's meeny, meeny, tickle of Harrison. Oh my goodness, let me go get my Hebrew and Aramaic dictionary that I may look up the words. Or we can use the Bible's own built-in dictionary and figure it out. Let's see if we can. All right, Daniel says in verse 26, this is the interpretation of the thing. Man, ain't this book slick? Meaning, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tikal, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, the kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Don't name your kids them things. I'd go with something like Joshua or something like that. I wouldn't fool with meeny, meeny, tickle, that thing right there. Uh-uh. But see what the thing is. You see how that the Bible interprets itself, and God just told it, this guy here, the handwriting's on the wall. It might be fun you out there playing with my stuff and putting your liquor in my cups and all that, but I'm going to get you. And I'm going to get you right now. Jigs up. Go talk about my preacher all you want to, but there's going to come a time that hand's going to show up. Go run down my church all you want to. I said it, not you, would prevail against the gates of hell. Run your mouth all you want to. See that? God don't play with all that stuff. If you look on over, let's see here. Chapter, get on over here. Find my next one. Here it is. Chapter 8, down at verse number 16. There's a guy shows up over here. Or verse 15 is where it starts. It says, and it came to pass when I, even I, Daniel, seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of the of Ulai, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. Gabriel's mentioned four times in the Bible. Once here, once in Daniel chapter 9, verse 21, and over in Luke chapter 1, verse 19 and 26. Gabriel is known as an archangel or something like that. We see he's mentioned four times. Look at chapter 10, verse number 13. It says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me once and withstood me one in 20 days. But lo, Michael, that's the other one's name, one of the chief princes came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Michael is mentioned three times in Daniel, and he's mentioned it throughout the Bible, but the book of Daniel here deals with these men's names. And might I add to this, these men were the angels of God. Never does a woman angel show up in the Bible except when it's a demon trying to pose as an angel. Never does an angel have long hair and all that stuff and look cute or handsome and all that, but when they do, they show up in Catholic portraits. Is that something? Or they show up in 2 Corinthians 11 as an angel of light, the devil. You got to watch all that stuff. If you look down to chapter 11, look down at verse number 36. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods. And shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. That's the Antichrist. It's describing him. And it says, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers. That God's a capital G. This Antichrist, he's not Italian, he's not American, he's not black, he's not white, he's a Jew. The God of his fathers. And another little detail about him you need to know is this. He says in that verse, nor, he don't regard this either, nor the desire of women. Wait a minute. If this is a man, and he don't regard the desire of women, then that would explain why everybody's okay with all these sodomites in this country right now. That would explain why they're doing the gay whopper and the gay pride march. And in these churches, Lesbians for Jesus, the metropolitan church was all sodomites. And the Methodists started losing members, so they allowed sodomites to be in their church. You afraid the Methodists are going to hear you shout about that? We look at all that and say, man, we'll say, this country's getting worse. Jesus is coming back soon. You don't know how close He is. Because if we're allowing that thing and saying that's a lifestyle, watch this, that God created, I know which God's behind it. And it's not the big G in the first part of the verse. It's the little G God called the devil. Because when he comes on the scene, he's going to come on and say, I absolve all laws against marriage. Anybody can marry anybody, including a dog. That's how wicked he's going to be. You think it's bad now? Wait, the Holy Spirit's out here and that Antichrist shows up. And he says, matter of fact, I've got my, what do you call him things? My domestic partner right here with me right now. And he's going to kiss him right in the mouth in front of a worldwide television set. And they're going to stand up and applaud that crowd. And they're going to have their Catholic priest there. He's going to turn around and they're going to marry him right there on the spot. Because after all, he'll be the Pope of the Catholic Church. You say, I don't believe that. The King James translator sure did. Luther did. Calvin did. All them guys did. Wonder what's got us so soft on them people. Have we forgotten for 1,000 years they killed people all over the world by sword points saying convert or die? Have we forgot about that? Have we forgot about the Spanish Inquisition? Do they not teach history in public school anymore? Or is it a distorted version? I mean, I've never heard anybody tell anything about American history other than the fact that blacks were slaves in the Civil War, and that's why the Civil War is fought. That's all they know. That's all they've ever been taught. And that ain't even right. Yeah, you don't think so? Go see if Abraham Lincoln, go check your history book, see if he had slaves. After the war. Ain't that a sight? Boy, this crowd's so messed up nowadays you can't do nothing with them. Now watch this. We see that this Antichrist is going to show up. He's going to desire women. He's going to be a sodomite. And he's going to be a Jew. And he's going to be the first one to take over that Roman Catholic Church. See, they go over there and they say, well, Peter was in Rome. And he called Rome Babylon by code words over there in 1st and 2nd Peter. And, well, you know, that made him the first pope. Only problem is Peter never went to Rome. But the same crowd that say Babylon is Rome there will deny that Babylon is Rome in Revelation 17 and 18. Coincidentally, the same crowd says Daniel 3:25 should be a son of the gods. And Mark chapter 15 over there, those last nine verses, they shouldn't be there. And that verse about seeking to save that which is lost shouldn't be there. Oh, and that verse about the guy getting baptized in Acts chapter 8. No, we got to take that out. He got sprinkled. See, it's all the same crowd. But don't you notice something else? As we look at this thing, one more thing. Chapter 12, verse 4 says, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Now, one's got to wonder that the book he sealed at the time of the end, if John didn't see Jesus Christ open him seals up. You know, there's no man found to unseal that book. Well, he did. And then for the rest of the book of Revelation, you get prophetical future. Why? It was sealed to the time of the end. Listen to this. Time of the end. But watch. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. I know the Lord's coming for one reason. Back in 2006, I wrote in the margin of this very Bible, 2006, that's how many years ago? 8 years ago? That by the time you took a computer, you bought it at the store, you got it home, when you lifted it out of the box, it was already out of date. Now, we're 8 years past that. Just 8 short years. And in that time, we now have things that we can hold in our hand, that we can talk on, take better pictures with, than them nice big old cameras, them big old things on like Peter Parker used in Spider-Man comic books. Yep. And we can take better pictures on that. We can tap a thing and get a video from around the world in just a matter of seconds. And that thing, be it an Android or an iPhone, when you take it off, when you take the plastic off that and enter your information into the cell phone store, it's already out of date. that fast. Computers used to be as big as this choir loft, or maybe the pulpit and the choir loft together. And it would feed data through there, and they had big old tubes in there like was in the TVs and stuff to make that stuff work. And when Batman had the TV show in the 60s, when they went to the Bat computer, it was this big. And it'd take it a few minutes, they'd ask it a question, and it'd spit out something. Ping! And it'd answer the Riddler's riddle or tell where the Joker was at or whatever. Nowadays, there's an app for that. You just find the Joker by clicking on this to tell you where he's at in the world. Some of you have been to places on vacation in your life. I know that Ocean Lakes has this. They got a live camera down there. You can tap into on the internet right now. Right now. I don't know where all of them are, but I know there's one in Graceland right there at the front door of Memphis. Down right there in front of Elvis's house. Live camera. Show what's going on in Graceland. And since 1978, he ain't showed back up. But in his defense, they won't let you go upstairs because he's probably up there.
That's right.
I'm just saying now. But I do know also that all this technological advance and all this other stuff, it said right before it, running to and fro. People are so busy right now they don't have time to do anything. We got to be here. We got to be there. We got this to keep. We got this going. We got this. Got this. Got this. Got this. Got this. Got this. We're running over here. We're going over here. We're going over here. We're going. Your pastor says, "Well, we got visitation. I ain't got time." Why? I got to be here, and 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 I got to be here. Gas is so high. Then how do you get out so much? My goodness, there must be a rich Arab somewhere sitting in a tent with billions of dollars, because that gas price has never went down. But what I do see happening over and over is this Bible. They'll be running to and fro. They're running to and fro. Knowledge and all that stuff's going to increase drastically. It's going to just keep coming. It's coming. Back when I started the ministry, they give you a little list of things to get because we was all poor back then. It's all poor Bible college students. They'd say, get you a concordance, get you an English dictionary, get you a Bible dictionary, and get you a notepad, get you some breath mints, get you a couple of good suits, and some wingtip shoes, and some ties. That's what they told us to get. You know what I teach my guys to get? Get you an iPad, spend $20 and have books, 500 volumes of books, downloaded like that. 500 volumes on a thing. It's about that thick, about like that. I go on a plane, the guy says, what you got there? I said, my library. He said, it looks like an iPad. I said, they tell me that too, but it's got my library on it. Stuff's happening quick, ain't it? You want to hear something funny? I got it all right here, too. How in the world? How did we ever live without these things? If you think this is something, wait to see what's coming next. What they're going to do, make a pair of glasses and you put them on, and the way you look certain ways or think, it's going to pop up there for you to see it? They talking about the walking dead, it's already here, because that's all you see nowadays. Wow. All anybody ever does anymore. So where we at? You look at a guy like Daniel, he had seven things going for him. Look over at chapter 6. I'll mention these right quick and we'll be out of here before you know it. Listen, I'll get you out of the way before 12 o'clock. Watch this. Daniel chapter 6. This message is on catnapping. Catnapping. You'll notice in Daniel chapter 6, Daniel comes along and because of his conduct in verse 1 and 2, it said, it pleased Darius to be set over the kingdom of 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. What happened to Daniel? His conduct was such that the king placed him at the helm of the ship of the state. Why? He had conduct. You know what we need? We need belts, we need paddles, we need correction, and we need backbones in parents to raise kids like Daniel. Quit trying to make excuses for them, beat the devil out of them, take their Nintendo away, whatever you got to do, and make them do right. They do not come out of the mother's womb with a manual. The manual is located here. And you take this manual and raise that child in the way he should go. When he's old, he won't depart from it. Here's the catch. They don't come out like this coming out. They all come out the same way. Lying, rebellion, cheating, stealing, and all that other stuff. And they have problems with the English language. I'm like Willie P. Richardson. I'd have to call the hospital one day and say, I think I got the wrong baby. I think he's Mexican. Well, how do you know? Well, if he gets older, how am I going to teach him how to talk? I mean, you know, they do that stuff now. But I do know this. In all seriousness, conduct is something that's learned at home from the parents. You know why these mega churches are so growing and so big and all this other stuff, and why they extend in schools so much, and why we got longer school years and longer school days? Because the parents don't want them. Here, you take them. I don't like them. When they at my house, all they do is run. They open doors, open windows. They get scraped up and they come crying and all this other stuff. And I'm trying to watch Oprah. I think they're watching Oprah and Jerry Springer too, the way they act. But they don't have nothing to do with their kids. They get to church. They don't want their kids to sit with them. Here, you go to children's church. Get away from me. Did somebody say Mother's Day out? Yeah, take them. Take them all! And they grow up and become convicts and everything else. They wonder what happened to them. Well, that church was just sorry. No, you sorry. It was you. Listen to his conduct. Daniel's conduct gave him something. He had character. Verse 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Don't jump to conclusions. That was Daniel's spirit too quick, because Daniel would have been like it had not some other spirit. He got saved and that other spirit was there too. See, listen, Daniel had character, and Daniel was what every child is called to be. He's called to be of an excellent spirit. I know you and I, we have to face temptation, the devil, the devil's crowd. We got enemies and all this other stuff. But whether or not they do right, we do right. Excellent spirit. The man had an excellent spirit. We see Daniel's commendation in verse 5. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. The only way we can beat Daniel is to find something in this world that contradicts the Bible, and then we nail him on that. Ain't that something? You know what somebody said to me, some smart mouth said to me one time? They said, this is back when that lottery business was going on before they brought it to South Carolina. He said, oh, you preachers, y'all make me sick. Y'all talking about God ain't in the lottery and all this. He said, prove it. I said, what do you mean prove it? He said, show me in the Bible where it's at, where it says thou shalt have no lottery. I said, well, I do got something in the Bible for it. And it's the thou shalt not. He said, what? Thou shalt not covet. Come home from a preaching trip one time, drove 6 hours one way. For you, that's nothing. For me, that kills me. I don't like driving Spartanburg. I want to get out and take a break. But I drove 6 hours one way. I was coming home to see Mom and the kids. And I run out of gas over near Spartanburg. I had to pull into a gas station over there. And a guy come in and said, the lottery's up to $384 million. He said, just $2 will get you a ticket. I said, I don't want one. He said, come on, man. Everybody's got $2. I said, if I won that, I'd be dead in a week, so I don't need it. And besides all that, if I won that after I preached against it like I did, God would kill me probably, so I ain't touching your $2 lottery ticket. I said, but if I were you, since you offering that ticket, if I were you, I'd buy it, because that's probably the winning one. Dummy bought it. I said, man, it was a joke. He said, well, I had to take a chance. Are these people brain dead? Thou shalt not covet. Daniel said, keep your money. Keep your money. He had excellent character. He had commendation even by those, even his conspirators. In verses 6 through 9, they knew that nonconformity, that Daniel would never conform to that. They knew that he'd go hit his knees and pray regardless, and they had to sneak around and watch him do it, but they caught him. He is praying. Let me ask you this. If they sneak around your house, they're going to catch you praying. They caught him. his conspirators did. But then we see Daniel had courage down in verse 10. The Bible says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went to his house, and his windows being open to his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled down upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. If they outlaw praying in America, you gonna quit? You know what a Daniel's den was? That was a place, or a lion's den, excuse me. That was a place of execution. Because, first off, lions are not native to that area. Where are they native to again? That island called Africa, right? That great big island down there. All right, you go down there and you bring them up here. You put them all in a pit down in there. And you got them all in there. How do you keep them from killing each other? It's real simple. You drop humans down in there once in a while and they eat them up. There was no appeal system under these guys. You stole what? Come with me. In you go. Say you was the king's wife. And you wouldn't make the bed up, wouldn't wash the dishes and all this other stuff. Come with me, lady. And you think your old man's bad. Be married to that guy. They said, listen, that's how it's going to work. And if we catch anybody praying to any other God but us, we're going to throw you in there. Daniel did. His courage, he did that. He had a crisis come up. You know what happened? Verse 16, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said to Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Imagine this, a guy who doesn't even know that God knows God's going to deliver Daniel. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. What Daniel had, he had a crisis. You ever face something like this? I don't think you and I have faced anything like this. But I see that they cast him in there. The lions, what they did when they cast him in there, they would not cast nobody else 24 hours. That way the lions wouldn't let him live. Now, I call this message catnapping, because I'm going to tell you what went on in the den at night. It's all catnapping. I like cats. I've always liked cats. I have nothing against cats except cats that are mean. I don't like them kind of cats. You call them dog catchers. Come get this thing. It ain't right. I had to call a dog catcher one time. We lived up in town. This cat went up under our house and had babies and left them. I went up there and found them. I heard them. They didn't look like cats. They looked like little furry demons. We had a cat out here one time and had some kittens up under our floor there. I reached down to get one. That sucker went. I reached my hand out, and he just, I don't know how he done it. He's done it so fast. He turned so fast and had all four paws on me, extended claws, and was gnawing on my middle finger. Just like that. That ain't cats. That's demons. I don't like them. But if you have a cat, if you get that cat, you get him in your house, you get him used to you, after he gets the kitten out of him, he's going to do two things all day. Eat and sleep. They're very low maintenance. And if they come up on you wanting to love on you, their food bowl's empty, or they need to take a nap and they're looking for a nice warm place to sleep. When they dropped Daniel in that night, I believe God whispered in them lions' ears, boys, the claws better not come out. In fact, I'm going to take care of that. They're not going to come out. I know you're going to love the man of God. But you can't lick him with that big old 30 grit you got on your tongue. I hear one of the lions say, Lord, can we at least clean his clothes off where they threw him down, he fell in the dirt? Yeah, you can clean his clothes, but don't lick his skin. That'll hurt that man. I can see the lion saying, well, you know, Lord, it gets cold around here at night. We have to bunch up together and sleep. You reckon your man of God would like it if we kind of just nestled around him and made him a nice, comfortable bed? Y'all can do that, only on one condition. You got to quit purring when he goes to sleep. Can you imagine how good a night of rest this man got catnapping down there with that bunch? Listen to this. Scientists don't even know why they do that. They can't figure it out. Something God put there, man can't figure out. You know why God did that? So when Daniel got thrown down the lion's den, he'd have a vibrating bed to lay on to get him good and comfortable so his back wouldn't hurt the next morning after putting up with all that junk up there just because he wanted to pray and do right. He's catnapping. But see, out of all this, Daniel got paid back. He got compensated. Look at verse 18. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. And the king rose, so he is tricked in all this stuff. And the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste into the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried in a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Can I tell you something before he asked the question? He knew he was alive or he wouldn't have been hollering for him. Something I read and thought about. If he'd have thought that man's dead, he'd have said, go in there and get the bones out or something. Let's give him this nice burial. No, he went in there and hollered for him. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouths. They have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. He's in there catnapping. And the king commanded they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. Them, their children, and their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. When they dropped that bunch in there, they never even hit the cement. They killed them on the way down. That very crowd is persecuting you right now. Just catnap with Jesus for a little bit. Sleep on the lion. Because there's going to come a day God's going to turn that whole thing around. He's going to bring you up out of it. He's going to drop all them in it. So I don't believe you. Look back in Proverbs 11. You'll believe. Listen, if you don't believe it's because you ain't a believer, I'm going to show you what the Bible says, and you can do with it what you want to. Proverbs 11. Take a left from Daniel. If you make it to Proverbs 1, count 10 to your right. Y'all get that? I'd make 11, right? 300 years prior to Daniel being born, prior to that king saying the Son of God's walking that fire, a guy who recognized the Son of God, Proverbs 11, verse 8. Look at this thing here. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. No, Daniel didn't have the book of Revelation to look at. It was sealed up before he got that far. He didn't have the Pauline epistles. He didn't have the Gospels. He didn't have all that, but he did have the book of Proverbs. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. Hey, when you persecute think the things of God, these bunch of devils that do that in this life, guess what? Before they check out of here, they have to eat it. You say, well, God will throw them in hell. He'll put them in hell also. That'll be far worse than what he's going to do to them here. But he will rub their nose in it. You ever heard the term beat them like a dog? Guess what God's going to do with them? You know when your dog messes up in the house, what you do? You take him by a scruff and rub his face down in it and say, don't do that again. God does that to people. He treats them like dogs. He don't treat them like sheep because they're not his. Now watch this. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. There may come a time in your life, and you may not can see the light at the end of the tunnel right now, but there's going to come a time you're going to feel sorry for them people that's persecuting you. You will. You will. Why? Because this book's true. God done it for Daniel. He'll do it for you. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.